Ben.
They've seen the interview.
Absolutely. They know. Look at it. That's good. Hey. There you go. All right. Well, here we are. It is time that we long, pray, and hope that God would move among us, right? Because we can't really say that we met as a time preceding. We're thinking that, well, I've got this time for revival. But ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody that we need to show up is God. Right. Amen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad to be here. It's with great humility I stand before you. And Brother Tony leaned over during worship and he said, I just want you to know that you are first. I told him, I said, it was a whole lot better than last year when y'all had me last and I had to follow all you guys. So, you know, it's all right. It's all right. I hope that you came to expect something from God. I hope that you have. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God wants to do something in your heart and life. And he wants to do something in this preacher's life. And if there's anybody here who wants to be changed, I want to be changed tonight. And I hope God does that in my heart, in my life. And I hope he does that in yours. Do you remember the time when you first got saved? Do you remember that time, how excited you were? Do you remember that time?
Yes.
Do you remember how you were just so excited and enthused? Did it change your life at all? Did you ever feel like it just changed your life? Come on now, if you're excited, it's all right. Listen, it's okay, all right? If you got excited that you had a changed life, did you think about things different? Did you have a new, brand new worldview? Did you have that? Did you start seeing things different as you looked at situations in life? And all of a sudden, you know what? Everything's different. How you smiled. Did you have a little strut in your step? I mean, did you? Did you know that you were saved? Did you know that you were spirit-filled? You were saved. What happens to people? Because I got to tell you, there's some people who have lost their joy. So revival, when I think about revival, I have to first get into the mindset of, all right, so what is it? What if I'm supposed to preach revival? Lord, what do you want me to say? What is it? I mean, exactly what are we dealing with here? What is the issue that we're dealing with here? And I believe if we're going to define it, who better than Charles Finney? Charles Finney was a revivalist. Excuse me. He's a revivalist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Charles Finney had such power of God in his heart and in his life that he would walk through a textual mill, not saying a word, but the power of God would fall on people and they would stop their work. They would fall flat on their face, confessing their sins and repenting. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's power. That's power of God. And Charles Finney said this, revival is renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. That's what revival is. Now, revival, ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure that we've got this clear. Revival is a very serious thing for Christians. Please understand what I just said. Because you can't revive something that has never lived in the first place. If you're here tonight, and I know, ladies and gentlemen, many times during the invitation, we wait till the end of the service, but listen, God laid it on my heart this morning to do this, and I want to do this now. You might be in this place, and somebody has invited you to come to a revival. So you come and you sit here, and guess what? You don't ever really make a decision till the end of service, and you're being convicted through the whole service. You're probably even convicted now. Why? Because I cannot persuade you. I can't do anything without the working of the Holy Spirit. And more than likely, the friend that brought you here tonight has already been praying for you. The person that has called you to come here tonight is hoping that you be saved. They've been praying that you would be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, before we do anything else, let's give an opportunity for those in our congregation right now who may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in hopes that they would sense the moving of the Holy Spirit on their heart and they would say, you know what, this is not going to be a waste of my time. I'm going to get it. I'm going to understand it tonight. So ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do something. I want you to pray. I want you to bow your heads across this place. Pray, Christians, pray. Pray right now for somebody in our congregation right now who's lost. Pray, Christians, pray. Pray for them right now that they would understand the seriousness of where they are. Pray, Christians, pray that they would sense the Holy Spirit in their heart and they would give up. They would submit and surrender right now. Oh, pray, Christians, pray. right now that God would save. If you're here tonight, listen, please. We love you. We don't want anything to happen to you. We understand what your life would be like if it was changed by the Lord, because we want that for you. We want you to do that. We love you. This is not about you becoming like me. This is not you becoming like the person next to you. This is about you becoming like Jesus. This is about being saved and entering the promises of God. Would you please do that? Listen, if you're here tonight and you say, Chad, listen, I have carried sin. I have carried guilt. I have carried shame long enough. I'm tired, Chad. I'm tired. And I want to be saved. I want to be released. I want the bondage to be broken. Chad, I'm tired of being addicted. I'm tired of looking at these things in my life. And they're robbing me. They're robbing my family. They're robbing my children. They're robbing my wife. They're robbing my marriage. They're robbing me, Chad. They're robbing me. And I'm tired of it. I'm just tired. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can be set free. Amen. Yes. And you can be cleansed and forgiven tonight. Oh, listen, would you believe that Jesus Christ was an actual person? Would you believe that He died on Calvary? Would you believe that He truly rose from the dead? I'm not talking about just in spirit. I'm talking about His body. His body rose from the grave. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen. And he ascended to heaven and He sent the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you how you know you're being convicted. Right now, deep inside your heart, you're having a turning inside your body. There's a thought right now. There's a thought going through your mind right now saying, you know it's you. You know it's you. You know you have to. And then you may even have another thought coming in telling you not to do it. That's the devil. But there may be a thought going through your mind right now saying, surrender, surrender. He's talking to you. Listen, I'm asking you right now. I'm calling you. But God's calling you right now. Would you surrender? He loves you. Would you just surrender and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior and say, Jesus, you did it all. I trust totally in you. And you take my life. And I'm going to read what the Bible says. And I want to do it like you do it. I want to do exactly what you say. Help me, Lord. If that's you right now in your own way, would you just call out to the Lord and you'd say, Lord, save me. God, forgive me. God, I don't need anything else to help me know I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned. But I know that you have forgiven me because I've asked you to. Would you believe? God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that somebody here called out to you. And God, maybe there has never been a worship service before where they got it, but I pray tonight would be the best worship service they've ever been through because it's personal now. And I pray, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that God, you so change that person. They go home, and Lord, their family sees it. God, their church sees it. The people at work see it. Linden sees it. Alabama sees it. Our nation sees it in this whole world. Oh, God, that you would just move right now. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you said that, if you called out to the Lord, and you really, truly meant it, I want you to tell somebody what happened in your heart. You don't hold that back. You let somebody know what happened in your heart. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, I want to take a look at one other revivalist. And I know that Brother Billy Harris loves this guy, and I know about it too. And as a matter of fact, there's a wonderful book out. It's called The Welsh Revival. Now, if you've never read about the Welsh Revival, you need to read about the Welsh Revival. Yeah. A fantastic movement of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight and you're concerned about time, then you're in the wrong state of mind for a revival. Because see, what happened is Evan Roberts stood up to pray at 7 o'clock. And they didn't get out till 10 o'clock. All I'm saying is, I can't promise to you, God, if God falls down and you're concerned about time, listen, your heart's not right. Because listen, when God came down, all of a sudden the concern for time just went out. Why? Because it's about God. It's about Him being God. It's about Him being Lord. And so Evan Roberts stood up to pray. And in this prayer meeting, people started praying over here. People started praying over there. And they would do it publicly. And people would be saved. Thousands of people got saved. There were marriages that got healed. As a matter of fact, Evan Roberts didn't even need to be in a congregation for God to show up. He may have used Evan Roberts to start it, but oh my brothers and sisters, let me tell you about revival. Revival doesn't follow a man. Revival is all about God's movement, and Evan Roberts wasn't even in a congregation and God started moving. Let me tell you what happened. People started being changed. I want to see a revival that is so powerful and so awesome that it changes the fabric, the moral fabric of our city. What does that mean? Where it starts shutting down our court system. We don't need court. Why? Because nobody's getting arrested. Why? Because people are repenting. That's revival. That's what happened at the Rouse Revival. So somebody asked him about America. Somebody asked him. We asked for a message for America. He grasped my hand and gave me the following. The prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled. There the Lord says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If that is so, all flesh must be prepared to receive. And here's the four things that he told him. Number one, the past must be clear. Every sin confessed to God. Any wrong to man must be put right. Number two, everything doubtful must be removed once for all out of our lives. Number three, obedience, prompt and implicit to the Spirit of God. And number four, public confession of Christ. Those four things. And this is what he said. He said, Christ said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. There it is. Christ is all in all. So when we look at these things about revival, when I start looking at Christians around me who seem to have lost their joy, there are people right now. When you start looking at their lives compared to a person who's lost, where's their joy? Where's the difference? What's going on in not only in their emotions, but what's going on when they start talking about sin and their conviction of sin? And where do they think about sin? What, you know, have we now gotten to the point where we're concerned about being politically correct that we forgot to be biblically accurate? Have we gotten to the point in our society, in our churches, where this is our Bible studies? What do you feel the Bible is saying to you? And I'll tell you what the Bible says to me, instead of saying this. This is what God says. It doesn't matter how you feel about it or how I feel about it. This is what God says. We get to a point where we stop bringing the relativism of the world into our church and into our philosophy. Where all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, we are at a literally a place right now that is very dangerous. Postmodernism, postmodernity. I don't mean to use big words, but that's just what it's called. You know, what's good for you is good for you. What's true for you is true for you. And what's true for me is true for me. They would say that there's no absolute truth. And I would ask, is that absolutely true? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to a point in Judges where people do what's right in their own eyes. But I'm here to tell you that we don't have to stay there. Are you a person right now that you would say, Brother Chad, I'm tired. I've lost my joy. I don't feel like singing anymore. I don't feel like doing ministry anymore. I'm burnt out. My brother, my sister, you need revival. You need revival. So what happens? What happens to a person? What happens to a Christian? There they are in their palace. They're feeling like a king or queen, been forgiven for all their sins. Life is great. But you know what happens to a Christian's life? We get caught in a place that we really shouldn't be, at a time we wasn't expecting. And we have an enemy who comes against us, who seeks to devour and to steal, kill, and destroy. And all of a sudden, I remember a king one night, he was up on the roof of his palace. Oh, now, if they had gone off to war, it's an amazing thing that he didn't go off to war. He was in a place he really shouldn't be, doing something he really shouldn't be doing. You see, and he looked down there and he saw a woman bathing. And it was another man's wife. So he called for her, and what did he do? He committed adultery with her. And that's not all. As a matter of fact, her husband came back and he sent her husband to the front of the line. And he told the general, he said, listen, when the battle starts, I want you to pull everybody back except for him. And what happened? He got killed. Ladies and gentlemen, it seemed like he started getting into a web of deceit, trying to handle sin himself. And it got worse and worse. Until, praise the Lord, God's mouthpiece, a man named Nathan, starts talking to him. And it's amazing how God can use a person to speak. And Nathan gets to this point and this phrase, "Thou art the man." What do you mean by that, Brother Chad? I mean that he is the man that God has shown Nathan that he took another man's wife and he murdered her husband. And the king I'm talking about is David. A man who God used to slay giants. What am I telling you? I'm telling you it doesn't matter how many times you preached, have you taught, it doesn't matter how many people you've led to the Lord. My friend, listen, what happens to a Christian when they sin, they can lose their joy. They can lose their passion for ministry. They can do that. And my friend, listen, if you're here tonight and you would say, "Well, Brother Chad, you know, I'm still having struggles and I don't really understand this." Well, let's just look at what the Word of God has to say. This is not my opinion. I just want to present to you what God has already said. That's all I have to do. Why? Because it's enough. So what we see here is this. In verse 2, what does sin do? What we're going to look at tonight is, what does sin do? Listen, Brother Pierce, man, I'm going to tell you what. I can listen to you read a phone book. I'm serious. We love you, man. Thank you. All pastors, thank y'all. Listen, what does sin do? I want you to take a look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." What sin does, it taints the soul. You feel dirty. You feel dirty. Oh, you may have had your pleasure for a second, but you're feeling dirty. Oh, it taints your soul. Number 2, verse 3. Listen to what it does. Verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." What does it mean? It possesses the mind. You ever seen a person that has sinned and it just possessed their mind? They can't think of anything else. It possesses their mind. It possesses your mind. All of a sudden, you can't think of anything else but that sin. The sin, what you have done, what you have said, what you have committed against God. It possesses your mind. It takes your concentration. It takes your focus. It comes in and steals your mind. Number 3, verse 4, it hinders our fellowship with God. Verse 4, look at this. "Against you, you only have I sinned." Ladies and gentlemen, we have to get to a point, if we want revival, that we understand that sin is personal with God. It's a very personal thing. It's not as if I've done this act and, you know, God's up there and he's like, "Hey, I hope the best for you." No, when I sin, here's what I've done. I've embarrassed him. You know what? How would you feel if you embarrassed your mama or your daddy? How would you feel if you embarrassed your wife? How would you feel if you embarrassed your son or your daughter? How do you feel when you embarrass God? You carry His name. People know you as a church member. Not only do you represent Jesus Christ, but you represent also your church, wherever you go. How do you feel when you get to a point that you embarrass God? And you do it because you sin. There's some people who would call themselves Christians, but it really doesn't matter what they do. They just say, "Hey, I'm saved, I'm good, I think I'm all right," or whatever. So there's some people, ladies and gentlemen, I'll never forget. There's a lady that on Facebook, I saw her put a post up there, and I don't do it a lot, but I saw Sherry. Y'all don't know her, so I can use her first name. But here we go. I saw Sherry. Sherry put this post up there, and I'm thinking, this is not the same lady that I once remembered. I contacted her by Facebook. I sent her a note, and I said, "I'm really concerned about you, and I love you. What's going on?" What happened was that she had cheated on her husband. And she said, "I have so messed up. I so messed up." And so instead of going back to church and getting involved and getting counseling, she went the other way. She was afraid of rejection. And so what she did was she felt like she messed up. So what did she do? She kept messing up. And she said, I don't know how to get back. She said, basically, I know one day I'll get right with the Lord. Well, basically, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you every single word of what we talked about. The time to get back to the Lord was right now. Amen. And to stop doing what you're doing. Because guess what? That's not who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, people can go off into a direction. And at one time in their life, they were on the path. And all of a sudden, to cover up one sin, they do another. To cover up this sin, they do another, and then another. And listen, God's calling you right now. He's saying, I love you. Stop. And let's deal with this. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand that with God, it hinders our fellowship. Number four, it clouds our minds and darkens our emotions. Number eight, verse 8. I want you to take a look at verse 8. Verse 8 is very powerful. And don't miss what it's saying here. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Make me hear joy and gladness. Why is he praying for to hear joy and gladness? Because he doesn't hear joy anymore. He doesn't hear gladness anymore. He's depressed. And there's no psychiatric medication that he can take for it. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't deal with spiritual through your flesh. You can't take a pill for a spiritual problem. The joy of your salvation is not going to come because you're taking some type of medicine that you've seen on television. If you've got an issue because you sin, you got to go to the cross. You got to go to Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, and he will bring back the joy. But what happens is, ladies and gentlemen, if we're not careful, we even as a church will start saying, hey, listen, if you're feeling down, well, hey, let's throw a pill at it and we'll pray for you. No. That's not how we handle it. You don't handle a spiritual issue through your flesh. You don't do it. You don't do it. Listen, sin clouds our minds and it darkens our emotions. Could it be that you've lost your joy? Could it be that you're suffering depression because of sin? Could it be? Could it be that also you're having some physiological changes in your body because what we see in verse 8? Look at what he says here in verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Now, he's not talking about literal bones, but I guarantee you that David feels the impact physically from his sin. Have you ever seen a person caught in sin and their body changes? Man, they've lost weight. They've lost weight. Have you ever seen, let me ask you a question. Have you ever lied and mom and dad caught it and dad's coming home at the end of work to take care of you? I have to. But I'm going to tell y'all what. Your stomach starts to turn. And next thing you know, in about a couple hours, you reach for Pepto-Bismol. Why? Because things are happening in the bathroom. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. There are people who are literally physiologically struggling because of sin. There are people who are trying to deal with sin as well, and they're also harming their own bodies as well. So it's not that just we can sin and we're thinking it won't affect us. Ladies and gentlemen, it will affect us. There are people suffering migraines right now because they're worried about somebody catching them. There are people who are struggling right now physically. Number six, we lose our joy. Verse 12, look, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me. Why is he praying for it? Because he's lost it. It's gone. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. I don't know when the last time it was, Brother Chad, I felt like I did the day that I was saved. I feel sometimes like I'm backtracking. I feel sometimes like I'm in pause. What's going on with me? Ladies and gentlemen, it could be sin. Number seven, it brings feelings of guilt. Verse 14, look at this. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation. Listen to what he's saying. What's he asking for? Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, because he ordered the death, basically, of Bathsheba's husband. So guess what? He's feeling the guilt. Are you feeling guilt right now for something in your past? Well, Brother Chad, that happened so long ago. It doesn't matter. It could be something that happened last year. You were saved, listen, but you hadn't talked to God about it. Do you realize that God never slumbers, God never forgets, But do you know that God still loves? He wants to stir it up. And there's some people who will take it and you're packing it to the back. You've justified it. You've probably even gotten around a lot of other people who probably have even done the same thing. And it brings some type of justification. It brings some type of salve to your soul, but you're not being healed. What's happening is you're just getting by. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying here is this. You have lost your joy. You are experienced feelings of guilt. And not only that, but number eight, listen. If you're in a congregation and the music struck up and you are not singing, sin will stop your praise. Sin will stop your praise. Look at verse 15. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Why is he praying, open my lips? Because his lips are not praising God. His lips are convicted. His lips are closed. My friends, listen, if you're in a congregation and your lips are closed, and it could be somebody's protesting something, I don't know, but whatever it is, listen, you are either singing praises to Almighty God because you love Him, you adore Him, and you want to lift Him up, or you're not because your heart's not right. And listen, praise, true praise has not been on your list because you are in sin and your heart is not prepared. That's what it is, folks. That's worship. Worship's more about the heart than it is about the talent. It's more about the heart. So what do we do? What do you do? What must I do if I want revival? Ladies and gentlemen, are you wanting to sin? Does anybody in here want to sin? Are you wanting to hold on to it? Anybody else here want to hold on to it? I mean, we have just read all the things that sin will do to you. Why? Because we see it through David. We see it through others around us. So if you're done with sin, if you're done, maybe you need to suffer some more. Maybe you need to get arrested more. Maybe you need to lose more friendships. Whatever it is, what do you need to do to get to a point where you're done with sin? But maybe you're at that point. Maybe you'd say, Brother Chad, I'm at that point right now. I am. I'm at that point. Here's where revival can happen. And here's where you prepare yourself to receive it. What must I do to deal with sin? Number one, you must have confidence in God. Please notice that this is this may seem very elementary, but you must have confidence in God. Did David have confidence? Let's take a look at verse 1. Look at what it says in verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. This is what David said. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Listen to what he's saying. He said, have mercy on me, O God. I trust in you, O God. Not just according to anybody's loving kindness. I don't want anybody's loving kindness. I want your loving kindness. I want your mercy. I want what you can do, O God. I have confidence in what you can do for me. I'm not talking about Dr. Phil. I'm not talking about turning to Dr. Phil. Well, this person on television just did the same thing I did, and let's see what he says. You forget that. There's only one person that can handle sin, and his name is God. Jesus Christ can handle sin. Do you have confidence in that you can go to God and say, God, I have sinned. I ask your forgiveness. According to your loving kindness, would you please forgive me? According to the multitude of your tender mercies, God's mercy is renewed every morning. And praise God. Because, listen, I need it yesterday, I need it today, and when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to need it then too. He's that kind of God. He never slumbers, he never sleeps, and he's never left me nor forsaken me. He has been that kind of God. Ladies and gentlemen, he will be that kind of God and friend to you. Great master. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to invite him in. We've got to bring him into that relationship and include him in our life to where we say, God, I have sinned. And I need your loving kindness. I need your, listen, tender mercies. If you having thoughts going through your mind like this, you're so stupid. Can't believe that you would do something like that. That's not from God. God's very tender. He's loving. And he's forgiving. You must have confidence in God's ability to forgive. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have confidence in his ability to forgive. Why? Because if not, you're going to be dealing with that for the rest of your life. After God forgives you, guess who likes to jump in on the action? So you're sitting there, you've asked forgiveness for 50 times for the same thing that you've done a while back, and your enemy comes along, and he waits for you until you lay down at night, you cut the light off, and then he starts reminding you of why you're not worthy to teach Sunday school. And then you have prayed again. Lord, forgive me for that same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, have confidence that the master has dealt with it and move on. Why? Because when he says he has dealt with it, he's dealt with it. 1 John 1:9 is wonderful. if I will confess my sins. He is faithful. Not about me being faithful. Whose faithfulness does my forgiveness depend on? Whose faithfulness? It's His faithfulness. Is God faithful? Is God faithful, church? Y'all better wake up. We're going to have revival up in here. We're going to get loud. Here we go. Come on. Listen. He is faithful, and He has never left you nor forsaken you, treating you as if you didn't matter. He loves you. And listen, He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. And if you will confess your sins, He is that faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's that kind of God, and He will do it for you, and He will do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to also, I need to acknowledge my sin. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions. That word transgressions is rebellion. And my sin is always before me. He acknowledged his transgressions. To confess our sins, it's pretty interesting. I love how Adrian Rogers puts it. To confess your sins in the Greek, basically, it's homos and logos, which means to say the same thing. Now, when I'm praying and confessing my sins, I'm not telling God something He doesn't know. What I'm saying is, God, I see it how you see it. I'm going to say the same thing that you're saying. If you said my gossip's wrong, I'm going to stop justifying it because I'm just in a group of people. But if you said I'm wrong and I've sinned, then I agree. And because I agree with you, Lord, I realize that I need you to forgive me. Lord, I acknowledge and I agree with you, God. I agree with you, Lord, for all the backstabbing and backbiting I've done. I agree with you that that's not right. God, I agree with you. I agree with you on these things. Ladies and gentlemen, if we start agreeing with God, we're going to start looking more like Him. To confess is to agree. To come into the will of God and you say, I will be what He says I am to be. I will see things and love things He loves. I will hate things that He hates. I will agree with God on what He says that I'm wrong. I will agree with Him. What is it that you need to say, Lord, I hear you and I agree with you. I'm tired of fighting it. I agree with you. I agree I shouldn't talk like that. I agree I shouldn't laugh at that joke. I agree I shouldn't do this. I agree I shouldn't do that. Ladies and gentlemen, if we just stop tonight and we really start to ponder, I wonder how many things that we need to start agreeing with God on. Because when that starts happening, we start getting ready. Listen, we're getting ready for revival. Number four, repent for God not for losing something. Repent for God not losing something. He was worried. Lord, I have not worried, but he was concerned. Listen, I have sinned against you and you alone. Ladies and gentlemen, there was two kings. There was a King David and there was a King Saul. King Saul repented because he was afraid of losing his kingdom. David repented because he offended God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight and you're saying, hey, I'm going to confess to God and I want to get right with God because I'm afraid of losing this or I'm afraid of losing that. God's calling you tonight to repent and to confess because you have offended Him and Him alone have you offended Him. And He's the one who wants that relationship with you. He was the one who wants to love you. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and my sisters, why did you get right with God? Was it to impress other people? Was it to make sure that you don't lose a job, lose a relationship? Or do we get right with God because we love Him? That's the heart of King David. And that's the heart that's ready for revival. That's the heart that's ready for revival. Ask God for cleansing. Verses 7 through 8. Listen, 7 through 8. Yes, 7 through 9, excuse me. 7 through 9. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. What a leper would do, a leper would go into the temple. And what a priest would do, would get hyssop, and he would dip it in water. And he would sprinkle it up on the leper because the leper had become clean. He would announce that that person is clean. What he's doing is doing what? He's calling out to God as a high priest. And ladies and gentlemen, who is our high priest? His name is? That's his name. And what he's calling out to Jesus for, he's saying, listen, I want to be clean, and I want you to wash me. I want you to cleanse me. My friend, listen, there's nothing else that can go deep inside your soul and to make you feel clean like God can. It's got to be done by the Lord. It's got to be done by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can do it, and you've got to go to him to have that done. As a matter of fact, it leads us right into our next point, that what we have to do is not only do we have to repent for God to God for not losing something, but for him, and ask God for cleansing, but we have to ask God for a clean heart. What does that mean? In verse 10, I want you to look at this in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What do you mean, create in me a clean heart, O God? What does that mean? Does that mean that if you have a heart transplant? No, it doesn't. That'd be sort of strange. That's not what it means. The heart is the deepest part of your being. The heart is consisted of your mind, your emotions. It's the deepest part of you. And what he's saying is, God, I don't want to be affected in my mind, my emotions anymore by this sin. I want to be clean. I want to know that I have a clean slate with you. I don't want to be worried about it. I don't want to be thinking about it. I want God to have a clean heart with you. I want my heart and my mind clean. I don't want to think about it anymore. I want you to create in me a clean heart, a heart that's not guilty, a heart that doesn't carry guilt, a heart that's not shamed, a heart that's clean, that's right with God, a heart that has been alienated from what has just happened as God takes that heart and he cleanses it. Ask for a steadfast spirit. Verse 10, listen, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. What does that mean? A strong spirit will stand against temptation. A strong spirit that will stand against temptation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you confess to God your sin and you have repented, don't go back into it. Don't treat it like a dog treats vomit, the Bible says. Don't go back and lick it up. Listen, when the temptation comes, listen, you stand strong and say no and get out of there. That's what he's saying here. You, God, create in me a steadfast spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, he needed to run away, not run to Bathsheba. He needed to run away. Listen what else it says here. It says, listen, not only do I need a steadfast spirit, but ask to re-engage in ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in our churches today, doesn't matter what denomination you're in. I believe if we started to interview people and interview churches, I believe we would see this. That we have people who are not engaged in ministry. What, can I get amen? You are not saved by works, but you are saved to work. And you are saved to glorify God. When a person has sin in their life, ladies and gentlemen, they're not thinking about serving. But when a person does confess their sins, when a person has been cleansed of their sins, guess what can happen in their life? God can re-engage them in ministry and they can be effective for the kingdom of God. Look in verse 13. Listen to this. He says, verse 12, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then, after my joy has been restored, after my forgiveness has renewed me, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do this, Lord. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. We're talking about what? Now we're not talking about revival. Because when God's people get revived, guess what we have next? We have a great awakening. We have sinners coming to Jesus. We have people being saved. We have families being saved and children. We have people being saved, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, church, listen. Your sin, private sin, that you think that's not affected anybody, there's no telling of the outpouring that's being held back because you are not getting right. Listen, do not hide treasure under your tent. Don't hide sin. Don't hide sin. Because it will, ladies and gentlemen, listen, it will affect others' lives. Other people could be waiting on you. Would you be that person tonight that would say, you know what? I don't want revival not to come because of me. I don't want it that way. I don't want revival truly not to come because of me. I know you wouldn't either. And last, give God praise. Give God praise. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I'd give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You know, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we just have to break our denial and realize that we have sinned. And we've got to be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, Lord, I have. Lord, I have. Tonight, as I was thinking about this and going through this, I had something that in my life, because, ladies and gentlemen, you can't deal with the Word of God and it not affect you. I mean, it's living, okay? So I'm sitting there and I'm going through the Word of God, and as a pastor, I'm still learning how to be a pastor, and you know, I'll be honest with you, I am. I'm not perfect, but I do try. And I realized that I offended somebody, and I didn't realize I had. And I was able to go to these two wonderful people who, when I first got here, they were very close. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to give you my personal testimony to glorify God, and I hope this helps. But perhaps you'll get encouragement from it. But I went to these two people and just asked forgiveness for something that, perception or whatever, but asked forgiveness for something I had done wrong. You know what happened? God blessed my life with reconciliation. Now, as a pastor, you would rather have friends than you would have congregational members. Because we are a family. And I love my brothers and my sisters. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that it's not worth holding on to sin, and it sure is not worth not confessing. And it is not worth not going to somebody else, because you never know what kind of friendship you may have when you get right with one another. As a matter of fact, God is so serious about that. He said, before you offer up an offering, if you have something against your brother or sister, leave your gift at the altar, and then you go and you make peace with your brother or sister. I think many times in churches, there is a sin that if we're not careful, it's not it's not a Sherman tank like drugs. Oh, we see that one coming. I see that Sherman tank. I see that drug right there. Oh, yeah, that's a sin. Adultery. Oh, yeah, I see adultery. That's like a missile. That's like a nuclear missile, man. I see that one coming. And it's not those necessarily that the enemy likes to use. No, he likes to use the ones that are more stealth. Pride. Because you don't see that one. That's covered up. It's covered up. You don't see that one. You don't see pride. You don't really see that. You don't see unforgiveness either. I don't want to be right with that person. They're wrong. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Listen, that's your brother and sister in Christ. If they're saved, you need to go to them. You need to do your best to reconcile. Why? Because God is a God of reconciliation. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. He rose again on the third day to do what? To reconcile me to God. And if it's that important to Him for reconciliation, it needs to be important to me, to my brothers and sisters, for reconciliation. Even as a pastor, I have to do that. Why? Because I love our people. And there may be, there may be a person out there who doesn't want to reconcile, but don't let it be because you didn't try and love. Whatever it is in your life and in your heart that you need to agree with God, doesn't matter how big, doesn't matter how small, don't hide anything. Confess. Agree with God. God, if you say this is wrong, this is wrong. Get right with God. Ask Him to forgive you. Trust in His forgiveness. When you've asked and He's forgiven you, let it go, because it's done. And for you to keep holding on to it is saying, well, then God, you're just not great enough. You didn't forgive it enough. No, you just need to tell the enemy to shut his mouth and go on home. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it tonight that you need to agree with God, pastors too, and myself? What we all need to, this is not something that we're going to take care of everything tonight. What I'm asking you to do is something that you will do for the rest of your life. You will continue asking, continue seeking. What else is there that I need to agree with God about, that I need to get right? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you just never know if the outpouring is going to come tonight or tomorrow. I hope it comes tonight. I hope the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happens tonight. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be prepared to receive. You got to be prepared to receive. I got to be prepared to receive it. Because God, I believe God wants to do it. Can we be the kind of people that God can trust? To where we would be the kind of person that God would say, you know what, they're obedient. You know what, they're confessing. You know what, they're repenting. You know what, they are publicly going forth and confessing and glorifying me. You know what, they love each other. Yeah, it's going to happen right here. It's going to happen right here. Ladies and gentlemen, could it happen tonight? My hope, and God is calling you. Let's get right. Let's ask Him for forgiveness of sin. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I want to ask you to just take some time to allow God to move in your heart. You may need to come up here and just pray and say, Lord, I don't want to play with sin anymore. Lord, I want you to forgive me for this or forgive me for that, whatever it is. Lord, I agree with you. This is something that needs to be out of my life. Whatever it is, would you just do that tonight? Would you please stand? And listen, you might be here tonight and you say, Brother Chad, you know, I've been doing that. But listen, you might be a person here tonight that you could just pray for other people. You just, hey, listen, Christians pray. Listen, keep praying for them. Keep praying for people. So I'm just going to ask, listen, Ms. Harris, if you will, or Ms. Andrew, I'm sorry. Would you just play? As she plays, listen, I'm just going to ask you right now. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit, because, ladies and gentlemen, He will lead you into revival. He will lead all of us to revival. Would you stand? Would you stand? As she starts to play, I'm just going to ask you right now, if you would you just be willing to be open to the Lord and just do what He lays on your heart? If He wants you to come pray, you come pray. If he's got something that he's dealing with you about, you come right now. Whatever it is. I'm going to ask one thing. I'm going to ask right now that you pray for right now a person who's lost. I want you to call out their name to the Lord. It could be a person who you know that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, a person, Lord and Savior. It could be a child. It could be a grandchild. It could be somebody whose relationship to Jesus is strayed from the path. They really need prayer. Pray, lift them up right now. You may have somebody in your family right now right now that you would say, Brother Chad, I need God to touch my family member because they are not right with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand? If you know I have some family members right now, how would you like to know that they got saved? Wouldn't you love it? Congregation, let's start praying right now. Lord in heaven, God, I pray for people right now who've raised their hands. Lord, there's family members. I even have them, God, that people who need you, they need to be changed. They need to be saved. God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, you would move on hearts. That, God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit would be so strong they can't sleep tonight. That, God, you'd toss them and turn them, God, and they get up the next morning and Lord, they have received you as their personal Lord and Savior. And God, that they have told somebody. And I pray, God, that, Lord, that would happen. I pray that would happen right now. We love you, Lord. Thank you for moving among us. God, we pray in the name of Christ as we go home. God, we're not asking that you would end the service. We're asking that you would, Lord, take it with us. And God, you would help us, Lord, as you would search our hearts and our minds. And if there's something that's not right with you, God, that you would show it to us. And that we would confess it and repent and get it out of our lives. So we would walk with you. And Lord, we would see revival. Oh God, bring revival. Bring it, God, like never before. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.